What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy. You have your two favorite hosts in the entire universe, world, galaxy of all time. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful day for a podcast. So we're going to do more than one. We are excited.
Today is the marathon day.
We be cranking them out.
Oh, boy. We're cranking. We're cranking dongs and cranking songs.
We're not doing that. We're just recording.
Oh, okay.
Today is the 11th of April. So the episode 22 has come out already. So this will come out next week. And then we're also recording the season finale today.
Which I don't think
I... 2 weeks.
Literally didn't realize this.
Which was so ridiculous that you didn't realize, because I literally said, if we record two episodes on Friday, we will finish the season.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. Probably nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. But it's okay. Sometimes I think nothing and the best things come from it. You know,
oftentimes he thinks nothing and then he still gets pretty far in life.
Hey,
he's not dead yet. So
it's a skill, skills that kills. Also, we have two new, Apple podcast reviews. Did you know that?
Nope.
Yeah, we have two new Apple podcast reviews. Let me go ahead and pull those up. And while I'm pulling those up, I'm going to go ahead and remind everyone, if you have not yet, go find us on the social medias. Go to Instagram. Follow us at Grey's Academy Pod. That's where we post all the updates, maybe even a story of Kelsey's baby once that baby pops out.
We'll
keep you guys up to date with our schedule, because we don't really know what that's going to be yet. Also, feel free to follow us on our personal ones at carmen.gabriel.official, at chaoticallykelsey. Do make sure to go to Patreon and do / Grey's Academy Pod. Love to have all of the fans and friends and family on the Discord. That's how it goes. The fans become friends, and the friends become family, and the family becomes Discord. So we are Discord. So that is great. That's amazing. Love the group there. And also, do continue to give us 5-star reviews wherever you listen. I see that we have like Audible ones. We have Spotify ones, obviously the Apple Podcasts, where you can write a review, so we definitely appreciate that. But wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, hit that follow button. It definitely helps the algorithms to find more Grey's fans. So without further schmushmoo, I've got from JenBen80, a must listen for Grey's fans. As a longtime Grey's fan, 5 stars, by the way, obviously. As a longtime Grey's fan,
not obvious.
Yeah, well, that's fair. We had a couple haters lately. All right, as a longtime Grey's fan, I love hearing the recaps of the show. It's so entertaining to hear Carmen's reactions to the episodes, and listening to him and Kelsey banter is quite amusing. Highly recommend it for any Grey's fans. Just remember, no spoilies. Jen Ben, thank you for the no spoilies shout out. We have DLearn13, 5-star review. Fantastic show is the title. Love this podcast. Carmen's predictions are hilarious, and I love the banter. Keep up the amazing work. Wishing your families well. Thank you, DLearn13.
D-learning. Remember DLearning?
No. Oh, yes, I do. I had to think about that. I was like, what? Is it because I had D's in high school? Is that why? Because that was all D-learning. All my learning was D-learning.
Yep.
D's get degrees.
We didn't have D's at my high school. We only had A, B, C, and F.
Oh!
So.
Didn't know you grew up in one of those smart people schools.
Yes. It was pretty stressful.
Did I share the story? Lately, I've been just saying things to Jessica, and I'm like, oh, didn't know you grew up rich. The other day we were talking about...
She did not.
Well, no, that's the thing. But, like, remember, like, colored ketchup? Like, the purple or the blue or the green ketchup?
So upsetting.
And she had that, and we never had that. And I was like, didn't know you grew up rich.
Yeah.
Or, like, they... You know how they... Oh, boy. My dog's doorbell is going off because she's going outside to go potty. Or like the pre-swirled peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
Or like
I don't need that.
Just the fluff or just the Nutella, like you'd make sandwiches with it. And she was talking about that. And I was like,
did you have fluff and Nutella at your
house?
Hell
no.
No.
I didn't grow up rich.
I never had marshmallow fluff growing up. That's an insane thing.
I strategically made friends with the people who would come to school with the Nutella and fluff sandwiches. And I was like, oh, we're partying at your house today.
That is like not a lunch.
Well,
that
it wasn't
just bread and sugar.
No, they also had, you know, like Capri Suns, Doritos,
bagged sugar,
and just actually there was a girl in my
snorting
school.
Sugar off of the table.
No, she would bring physical sugar cubes like for teas and coffees. She'd bring the sugar
is
cubes.
This, what? I'm sorry. What grade are you in when this is happening?
Oh, like second or third grade.
That's insane.
It's insane. I don't know how she acquired them.
What?
I don't,
like 7 year old is like a spot of tea.
I don't think she thought a spot of tea. I think she thought I'm gonna bring sugar to school.
But you and just said she was putting it in tea.
No, I was saying sugar cubes like what
oh,
you would put
I see,
in.
I see.
I just didn't know if because I didn't know they existed until then. And
now
in my adult age I know they exist, obviously, but you know, like If you don't know that sugar cubes exist, either you haven't grown on a horse farm or you've never drank tea or coffee or had a friend in second grade that would just give them to you. So.
Oh, yeah, I like to do Michael will say things and then I'll just stare at him blankly and he'll be like, what? And I'll be like, this is like when you say you weren't rich, like these are the things that I'm like, you were you're wrong.
But
you have to tell me a story and specify which boat you were on in the story. You grew up rich.
Anything less than four boats is poor, Kelsey.
Here's the thing that rich people do, and this is how you know they're rich. If you say, oh, you are rich, and they say, we weren't rich, we were comfortable. Only rich people say that. Only rich people. And the thing is, because people like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk exist, rich people go, well, we're not rich, because they don't qualify as the richest person in the world. So right. They think that's not me.
So there's only one rich person at a
there's
time.
There's a threshold, guys. You can be
We've
rich.
We've reached it. Yeah. Oh, here's the thing. God. I'm comfortable because I don't have physical water that I'm not living in a garbage can.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable, but I am not rich.
See, but then one of my favorite things Michael's ever said to me is when because I'll just always be like, we are poor. Like actively, he and I currently are poor. And one time he was like, stop saying we're poor. We're not poor. We're uncomfortable. Because he knows how much I hate it when he says we weren't rich. We were comfortable.
We're not poor. We're just slightly inconvenienced financially.
We're not poor. We just every day is stressful.
We're not poor. We just don't have money to go to space or crash in the Titanic wreckage. We don't have money for either.
I was going to read our Audible review that we have.
Ooh, yes. Love it.
5 stars. The title is I Love These Two People from Jamie. Carmen and Kelsey together are a hoot. So true. They remind me of so many of my own relationships. I've been listening to them for 2.5 months and this format does not get old. I look forward to listening after every episode I watch. Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you, Jamie.
Also, we got a comment on Spotify this week that said, really enjoy this podcast after I get past all the tangents. ... Getting longer. Okay. Bye.
Yeah.
That's why God gave you a fast forward button.
You should listen to our political rants. Go to Patreon for all of our political bullshit. Coming soon. Spoiler alert, there will be tariffs.
Will there?
There will be. We're going to charge tariffs.
Oh, we're going to charge them. Okay.
Did you see China? Hold on. We should talk about Grace. I was reading this article how China was basically like, we're going to go ahead and put 125% tariffs.
Yeah.
If the United States does it back, it's not even real money. It's a joke. We're not going to keep raising this. Like, the United States are idiots. And I'm like,
well, we are already doing more than that amount.
Right. But they're not retaliating more. They're like, anything past this retaliation amount is just like a comic book. I can't even
It's
wrap
literally
my head
just
this.
Like watching toddlers interact with each other.
Pee on each
I'm
other.
Like, really? This is how we're running the globe.
Yeah, well, we're not. It's global turmoil. It's not running. It's really just
it's
falling
great.
And not okay. in style. Grey's Academy.
Grey's Anatomy.
It's season finale eve, if you will.
Mm, it is the penultimate episode of the eighth season.
Penultimate. Short for penetration. Ultimatum.
No. Why are you like this? Not a good enough reason to use the word penetrate.
Someone out there is laughing at the phrase penetration ultimatum.
Yeah, it's you, you dumbass. Jesus Christ.
I'm my own biggest fan. That's really all you need
I
to do
know this. That, and it is difficult.
Okay, Grey's Academy, the penultimate episode.
This is the 23rd episode of the 8th season. It is episode 171 overall, and it is called Migration.
Migration! Not much that I can find on this, but it is a song from the Canadian indie rock band called Winter Sleep. This particular song, no charting information, but it was from the album Untitled. So this was their Untitled album. And it was released February 15th, 2005. So long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. There was no charting information. This song was like, it was a lot of kind of like, I mean, when you think of an indie song, sometimes they're a little bit funky, a little bit weird. Took a long time to get to some singing. And by the time they got to singing, there was like really not a lot of singings, more like a, like audible, like I don't know. It's like, I really can't even describe it. It's like an animal migrating. And the only thing I could find from reviews was from the source called Exclaim with an exclamation point. And the rating that it gave was favorable. So
favorable.
The album is favorable. So anyways, I'm having a hard time here. I think maybe objectively and subjectively, it's probably a one. So it's not making my list.
Okay.
But with that, still, a lot of talent. Good job, guys. Back to you, Kelsey.
Okay. This episode was written by Mark Wilding and Jenna Bonds. Directed by Stephen Cragg. Aired May 10th to 9.82 million views.
What in the hell?
Don't worry, next episode it kind of jumped up a little bit.
So, did you see what happened? They have birds!
The Netflix synopsis is the residents choose their future positions, which I think, honestly, pretty accurate.
Yep.
Like the main point of the episode. The promo for this one really focused a lot on, like, everyone saying, like, it's a big decision, coming, leaving, and then the whole Alex and Owen conflict.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that was like the main focus of the promo for this one.
Interesting. I want you to know that I had a feeling something was going to happen. Well, obviously, ultimate. Obviously, it's the pre-finale episode, right? So something has to set up a crazy finale. But I thought it was weird that they're like, don't forget, everyone. Something's going to happen with conjoined twins and it's going to be awesome. And then the whole episode, nothing with the conjoined twins happens. Then at the end, they're getting ready to go. And when I saw they were on a like private plane and not like a plane, like a passenger plane, mm-hmm. I thought this shit, something's going to happen.
It's the finale. To your point, you were like, I knew Shonda was going to do something. I'm like, yeah, bitch, it's the fucking finale. Of course she's going to do something.
I also, here's the thing. I just don't, when someone survives a plane crash, which by the way, we really don't know if anyone survived. This could have been the end of the show realistically. And the rest of the next 22 seasons is like a dream sequence. Mm-hmm. Like the enzymes releasing and they're dying, their brains are slowly dying, and that's everything else's dream. And Izzy and Denny come back. And but not George. So I have a hard time watching anything in cinema where plane crashes happen and people live. It just feels unrealistic completely to me. Like in World War Z, where Brad Pitt was just like still strapped into his seatbelt. No.
You can crash a plane and live.
I don't know. I've never done it.
Well, talk to Sully Sullenberger. He did it right in the Hudson.
No, that's true.
Greatest pilot ever.
Tom Hanks, greatest pilot I've ever seen.
And then also the entire show of Lost, obviously.
I never watched Lost.
Yeah, I don't think you'd like it.
I'd be too lost.
I don't recommend it. It takes a lot of focus.
Ooh.
I don't think you have that to give.
Ooh. I would get up to go, and I would take one bite of food and look back up, and I'd be like, I don't know, where are they?
Yeah,
where
I just remember, like, because I watched it live, watching it week to week, and actively thinking, like, the amount of space this is taking up in my brain to try and figure out what the fuck is going on and also keep up with everything that has been explained is exhausting. Yeah. I definitely would be interested to see, like, to go back and binge it, because I definitely think it would be easier to consume in a binge style, because there's just so, like, every episode is so what the fuck that if you're doing it all together, it might be easier to consume.
Well, I feel like on a show like that, too, you lose more than you remember in between the weeks. But anyways, Grey's Anatomy. Grey's Anatomy is the show we're talking about here. And I like that this episode starts in the war room. We've got Owen and all the people going through things.
All the attendings are talking about where the resident, like, if they know for sure who is, like, what choices have for sure been made. And the confidence with which Arizona is like, well, Alex is staying because basically no one else has made up their mind. Everyone else is up in the air at this point. They're making it seem to be.
What threw me in this scene is they started talking about other names. Well, and we hadn't
seen... Which is realistic.
Yeah, but we hadn't seen April actually out of her mouth confirm that she had failed the boards. So
yeah, Carmen, the thing is, she did, and we all just accepted that, and like you're just the way you watch this show and need everything spoon-fed is a little bit like sometimes you just have to take it for what it is. She failed, and they told us at the end of last episode.
They didn't tell us at the end of last episode.
They did tell us. Well, they technically told us at the beginning of last episode, and it was confirmed at the end of last episode.
No, there were. I'm just saying I can see where I'm coming from is all I'm saying.
Yeah, and I can see that you're wrong.
Oh, okay.
As can the rest of us.
Yes, because you've seen the show, you have the benefit of hindsight.
Even watching it, this is like when I watched George die, and I was like, George is dead. And you were like, wait, George is dead?
I thought he was coming back next episode. I thought that
was the big cliffhanger. I remember watching that episode and being like, oh my God, I can't believe they killed George in the season 5 finale, and now I have to wait 3 months to see them all be sad about it.
No, they could have revived him.
I think you're like, that concept is... It's just a weird way to watch TV. Like, why not just accept what you're being told?
I'll accept what I'm being told when I'm being told the thing I'm being told.
Yeah, you're just like, you're doing too much. Like, you need too much from the writers. You have to use inference.
It's called closure.
Every so often.
No. That's what gets you into trouble with these shows.
No. Assuming is different than inference.
No, because you make inferences off of assumptions.
No, they're different.
Inferences are just science.
Inferences come from all. Yes, inferences come from facts. Assumptions come from
also facts. I have all the facts. I need all the facts.
Anyways, so April failed, and everyone knew except for Carmen. I guess
everyone except for Carmen. I thought there was a chance that they were gonna that it was a misdirect. Okay, I thought it was a misdirect. Anyways,
it wasn't.
I see that now. I've gleaned that at this point.
So at the beginning of this episode, did you have any like notes or thoughts on who would be going and who would be staying?
No, I really didn't.
Watching it and knowing like what was going to happen, obviously, I did kind of think when they like make such a point. For Arizona to be like, Alex is staying. I was like, ooh, I wonder if like Carmen will think he's not, because they're making such a point of Arizona being like, yay, Alex.
Well, I will tell you, I at this point now still think that either Alex leaves or Alex is dead.
Alex leaves or Alex stays. Alex, how would Alex be dead?
The plane crash.
He did not get on the plane.
What?
Like, okay. Did you watch the episode?
Yes.
Because he was going, and then Arizona gets really mad that he didn't tell her about Hopkins. So she's like, you're not going to Boise. You no longer represent this hospital.
I saw that. But then while
they show her on the plane, they show Arizona on the plane. Arizona was not originally going on the plane.
I didn't make that connection. I didn't know that she was. I didn't make that connection.
Alex is not on the plane. Okay.
I just didn't think we saw Alex. I just assumed.
Yeah, we didn't, because he's not there.
Okay, so
you're right. We didn't see him.
Okay, so who was on the plane?
Okay, so on the plane is Derek, Meredith, Christina, Lexi, Mark, and Arizona. And the pilot.
Okay.
So.
Got it.
That's who is on the plane.
Okay. I knew Jackson and April weren't. Mm-hmm. I knew Hunt wasn't.
Right.
Bailey and Warren weren't, which... Man, yeah, wild.
Got some stuff to chat about there.
Got some stuff to chat about there. And then I knew Weber wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I just assumed that I didn't see Alex on the flight.
Right.
So, okay.
You didn't.
Well, yeah, but I didn't think it was because
Arizona
he wasn't there.
Had a fit. And
but
then
when they
off.
Pan away from that, it's them fighting in the background, but Meredith and Christina are still talking. And that's when they're like, she's like, I'm going to Boston. I'm going to Mayo. And I it kind of cuts from that conversation. You don't see Arizona getting on the plane. I know
no,
now
you don't
that you see
any
her
of them
on the plane.
Get on the plane.
I know. I'm just telling you where my head is coming from. I'm a first time watcher. Go easy on me.
Well,
I'm doing
you
my
normally
best.
Watch like 600 times. You rewind and watch things so many times.
Yeah, that scene wasn't one that I did.
Anyways, okay, so Arizona is mad. She's not having a good. Also, I have to say this last episode when we recorded, I had no memory that Nick's storyline continued into this episode.
That's
like
funny.
I literally was like, why did they put this here? And that's what I said when we recorded, and then I watched the next one. I was like, oh, I mean, still kind of same question, but like, I guess we're just still doing it.
They needed a reason for Arizona to be so mad that she didn't let Alex go on the flight.
I mean, yeah, kind of. I think that's really truly how we got here, because I still stand by the why.
Yeah. So I really, as we were watching this, I didn't know where anyone was going to go. I didn't know where that was happening. And I think we've seen. So the reason I say that either Alex was dead or staying or leaving, I mean, I still think he's leaving. But it's because of the way that the Weber and Alex storyline kind of played out in this. It was like, Alex's arc was complete. He's a winner. Yeah. He's the first place guy. He's very desired for his medical quality. And he seems like he's a good person in it. And he's having some good moments with Christina at the lunch table. And,
yeah.
You know, we get a kind of a in a lot of TV shows, not necessarily dramas because they kill people. But in a lot of TV shows, there's like the hug. You know, Christina gave Alex the hug of you did good, evil spawn. Weber gives him like the pat on the back, the attaboy. I was like, okay, this is Alex's send off episode. He gets.
I love everything with him and Weber.
It's so good.
Because it's like moving past medical mentorship into just like real world mentorship.
Yes.
And I just think Weber is so genuine in this episode. And he's like, this is basically like the last thing I can give you.
Yeah,
because we've given you like this incredible medical training, clearly, that you're like in such high
desired
demand.
By Hopkins.
And so let me like walk you through, because Alex is still, I mean, to Weber's point, he says like you can't see that you're finishing first, like you can't, like you've done it and you can't even see that. And so it's Alex has come so far in his arc. That it's really incredible. If you think about like the first episode, you're like, this guy fucking sucks. And then in this episode, you're like, yay, Alex, I love you so much. Go to Hopkins. Woo.
Yeah. It definitely, it like when you see Weber go to him and he's like, listen, man, what do you got? Was it incidentals and overhead funds?
Fund, yeah.
And also to hear that Alex's, they're like, oh, and they know you're a jerk. And they're like, yeah, they know I'm a jerk and they want me. This is great.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like yours and my friendship.
So true.
Yeah. So, but when Weber's kind of giving him the rundown, he's like, all right, man, like you got to ask for international time. You got to ask for your loan payoff. You got to ask for like, relocation. Ask for the everything. Ask for the son. They'll get it for you.
And Hopkins is like shelling out. So they say Hopkins has already filled all their spots.
And they're adding and they're one
like,
more just
they're
for
adding
Alex.
One and giving him like all these perks.
Yeah. So
like,
that
they're
means
like a mortgage allowance. Like that's crazy.
It is nuts that what we saw as at like what the writers were making us believe was Alex's downfall in last episode of like pissing off the people as a reason why he might fail, showing up late, all of that is the reason that his friend Keith or whatever is like, no, I want that guy.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's a cool writing, like kind of micro little situation there too.
Yeah.
So kudos to the writers for that.
Yeah, I like that. And yeah. Oh, also Alex being like, Weber, are you fucking with me? Because we've seen like multiple episodes where Weber does in fact fuck with him specifically. So he's like, this is actually not funny. And Weber's like, correct, because it's not a joke.
Yeah. And also Alex puts his phone on the counter. And he's like, ah, this is bullshit. Walks away. And the overdramatic zoom in over the phone. And then you see Alex later on talking about Hopkins. So like,
also
too, that's
if you're
the
a doctor,
inference.
Don't leave your phone on the counter. What if someone calls you with a medical emergency?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yes, I love that whole storyline with him and Weber. Also, when he tells Christina and Meredith, and Christina goes, Hopkins, the hospital, not Hopkins Refrigeration School. And then Meredith goes, I'm not surprised at all. And Christina goes, I am 100% surprised.
Like, but that's when she gives him the hug after
so
that.
So good. No, I love it because she's not like saying you don't deserve it, but she's like, I'm fucking shocked, but good for you.
The thing I like about Christine in this episode is like, even with the April storyline, Alex is calling her Apes, which is like, okay, can we get a better
nickname? That's a terrible
nickname. Poor sweet April. Like
Apey.
Yeah, I don't know, something, or just
maybe just A. A is fine.
April already is a short enough name. It's fine. So yeah. Christina is the only one who's actually still treating her like normal, like nothing has happened. Mm-hmm. When they're at the lunch table and she gets two calls.
Yeah.
Christina answers and she's like, no, like that's just how I thought you would have said, you know, what you were saying. And it's going to be annoying. Like you're a crazy
that's
person.
How I thought you would handle rejection.
Yeah. Something to that effect. And then the second call comes in and she's like, go to hell. I'm a fantastic surgeon. You can suck
my
dick.
Yeah, I actually love that scene so much.
Great scene.
Like specifically when she's like, fuck you and your program. I would have been amazing.
Yeah.
No, I do like feel bad for April, but it's not.
I do feel bad.
That's surprising, I guess.
My
thing is, I'm like, I feel like she would still have job offers. There are people in the world practicing medicine who aren't board certified.
Yeah. And I guess that's the thing where we talked about it a little bit leading up to this. They're still doctors. They're still surgeons.
Yeah.
They're just not board certified.
Like, that's why it's, I mean, I understand, again, getting those specific offers pulled or like not getting offers for a fellowship specifically, but I'm like, there are also just so many hospitals that, yeah, they're probably not going to be like as prestigious as like Mayo and Johns Hopkins and all these other places. But like, it's still a job. I don't understand.
Yeah. Also, speaking of the boards, I want to take a second to shout out. I don't know if this is pre or post this episode coming out, but to our dear, dear Patreon, Aaron. Our Patreon patron,
Aaron.
I was also
looking that up.
Yep. Good luck on your boards next week. We are rooting for you. The entire Grey's Academy family is rooting for you. And I would, I'll only let you do surgery on me if you pass. And actually, by that, I mean Kelsey's the only one who gets to do surgery on me. So,
yeah, I don't think she's going in for surgery. She's going in for family medicine.
Oh, that's
right. Did say, she did say that hers is not oral boards. It is a 300 question test, which is a lot of questions.
That's a lot of questions. There's as many questions as there were Spartans. So,
and then some.
And then some. Well, no, it's 300. 300 was the
allegedly.
Movie. That's fair, allegedly.
I don't know how historically accurate that is.
I mean, Quasimodo killed them all, so.
Well, that's debatable.
All right, so, well, hold on. I guess this is kind of like right at the 30-minute mark. Let's just take a quick message from our sponsors really fast. We'll take a break. We'll let capitalism do its thing and crash the economy, and then we'll be right back.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
McCrispy strips are now at McDonald's. Tender, juicy, and its own sauce. Would you look at that? Well, you can't see it, but trust me, it looks delicious. New McCrispy strips, now at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
And we are back. Okay. So here's the earth. So, okay. Yeah. When they're sitting at that lunch table scene and they get the second, I think April gets the first call and Alex is like, you want my fries? She's like, I don't want the pity fries. And he's like, dude, they taste the same. we also, in the middle of all of this, get kind of that storyline with Jackson. He's like, what Jackson's did all the sex mean?
Trying so hard to sort out his bullshit. And April won't talk to him. And Mark won't talk to him. And he's like, nobody loves me. I pass my boards, but at what cost? Where do I go now? Nobody's telling me what to do.
I'm just a ship, a ghost ship floating in the Atlantic.
So, yeah, he's having a rough go of it. Also, the party at the beginning is like one of the best scenes. The party they're throwing at Meredith's house where they're like all trashed.
Mm-hmm.
And April is also trashed. Jackson's trying to talk to her and she's like, we're still friends. Let it go. And then she's just super drunk and dancing and thrashing. And Alex goes, that's what rock bottom looks like.
Mm. Well, she starts thrashing more because Christina gets a phone call in the middle and it's like, someone just upped their upper, and everyone starts cheering and the music goes back on. And then April gets a call and they're like, they just pulled my upper. Turn the music back on.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Mayo offers Christina the research lab.
Ah, that's right.
So, which is where she ends up saying that she's going to go to Meredith. And where were you with the Meredith going to Boston, staying in Seattle situation?
Well, when I saw the house that Derek was building.
The CGI house?
The CGI, yeah. I thought, no, you could stay. This could be cool.
They're not hurting for cash. He can do it again in another city.
They're not hurting. And that's what he says. I'll build another house. And she's like, oh, who will buy this one? And he's like, I did not like this comment from Derek. He's like, Mark will buy it. His dreams have always been my dreams anyways.
Yeah, he's the
turd. Fuck yourself, Derek. What I didn't like about this storyline is Derek was making a decision that was, on paper, really focused on Meredith. It's not a bad situation that he gets to benefit from it as well with the Harvard and the research lab. And that's the scene where he's like, they're giving me a $10 million endowment. My dream is to cure Alzheimer's. Whatever. She's like, yeah, but like, what about Christina? And he's like, you got to make this decision with me. I'm your husband. And I like that dialogue. Because up to this point, it was stupid that Meredith kept saying, like, I'll stay here and Christina will go to Stanford and then we'll just make everything work, blah, 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 blah. You got to do what's best for you, Meredith. And then even that scene where I didn't love this, but where Christina finally kind of tells Meredith off, she's like, dude, we're not married. You and I are not married. And Owen is my person, which, like, fuck that. And Meredith says, you're my person. And Christina says, but like, Owen's my person. I'm going to do whatever I want. Everyone just needs to stop telling me what to do on this. I'm going to decide what I want. I think that was kind of the realizing the moment that Meredith realized, like, she has to do what's best for her no matter what. And that's why she picks Boston, because that is the right choice. Whether or not she actually goes there, who's to know?
Let's just say.
Even if Meredith, she probably didn't even survive the plane crash. The show probably ends here.
Yeah, so the next however many seasons are just dream sequences over dream sequences.
Yes.
So yeah, my thing with the Boston, if you just looking at it with Meredith and Derek, not really thinking about the other people, Derek has been like so supportive this whole time, and then this feels like a hard pivot to him being like, well, now it's because I want it. It's not about your career anymore. It's about me again. And it stops being like him kind of pro-conning it for her and him being like, we're doing it.
Well, and what I'm it like, sounds okay, like to me,
this is just a hard pivot.
It sounds like there were the pro-con conversations. Then Derek decided the pros were very staunchly leaning, very in his heavily favor. Leaning. Well, towards the Boston thing. And then that's when he's like, no, I have made the decision. I have analyzed this. I have looked at the pros and cons.
Yeah.
And now I have decided that the pro is Boston. Which, again, I don't think he's wrong. If Meredith gets the offer from the Brigham and they're the number one place and they're the best general surgery place in the world, country, and then Christina's going to Mayo and what's-his-face is going to Hopkins, Alex is going to Hopkins, like everyone that we're seeing is apparently becoming the best of the best right before our very eyes, like everyone else in this show. But it does make sense on paper. It did, but it is kind of icky that, yeah, Derek was like, no, you will do what I say.
But so Hopkins is in Maryland, which is like pretty close to Boston, probably. Oh. I don't really know anything.
And Mayo is
in Minnesota. So it's at that point, if her going to Mayo makes no difference because Meredith is going to be on either end of the country and Christina's like in the middle. So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
The other two, like Stanford and Columbia, were like 2-hour travel days via plane or train from wherever Meredith would choose. But Mayo is like, okay, this is no longer worth considering.
A Minnesota to Boston is probably only a 3.5-4-hour flight. If that even.
That's like not a short day though.
That's as long as it is to get to Orlando from where I live. I guess that just doesn't seem scary to me. Like
it's not scary. It's just like when you think about going to an airport, because like not everyone gets to the airport 5 minutes before their plane leaves like you do.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like you get there. That's like a whole thing. And then you have the flight. That's like a whole thing. The train to me sounds more appealing because, A, it feels like it's probably not as much money. And then also it's like you just get on a train and go versus like going dealing with an airport.
Yeah, that's fair.
So Minnesota to Boston flight is just under 3 hours.
Oh, OK. So basically 20 minutes.
OK, you're so dumb. Boston to Baltimore, because Baltimore is where Johns Hopkins is. And that is a 7-hour and 15-minute drive. So probably less than 2 hour flight.
You know what I always find interesting with these shows, though, is they blend the fake hospital with real hospitals.
Yeah. So that because they have to give us as a viewer, like, some frame of reference for how good this hospital is.
I guess
so.
That's fair.
We know, like, Mayo, Johns Hopkins, like, these are places we know are good. Tulane, that's where Burke went. Like, that was Burke's pre-Seattle. So we, like, know that that's, like, a good place.
I didn't actually remember that.
Well, that's okay. You haven't watched the show 100 times, but he did wear a Tulane shirt a lot. And then. Yeah, I mean, they're just like I think it's more just to give us an understanding.
Got it. And then they mentioned Harvard. I definitely know that one.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Warren's going to UCLA. I know that one.
Yeah. Okay, so watching April's life fall apart, I'm not a big April fan still, but this is rough to watch. To watch Owen have to call her in, her mentor, call her in and be like, you now have nothing. And have her be like, but I'll find the money.
I also just don't.
It's sad.
Residents don't earn a lot, right? Like they're still.
Yeah,
making...
we did end up looking that up. Well, we looked up internships. I don't know that we looked up residency.
Hold on, let me look this up really quick. Tell me about something with what you were saying.
Yeah, it's just like hard because they have all of these offers, quote unquote, like pending board results. So to feel like you have really good options and then to go from that to literally nothing, like you don't even have the job that you currently have anymore. That's
so
rough.
Yeah. Here's what I looked up. So surgical residents in the U.S. typically earn between $60,000 to $75,000 annually, with first-year residents maybe around the $58,000 mark, so a little bit on the lower end. So what I have a hard time with from a budget standpoint, and this is what makes Owen's dagger that much more garbagey, is that's not a ton of money when it comes to these mega hospitals.
Well... but they're not residents anymore. Like, the job isn't for a resident position.
But I'm sure that if it came down to what, like, having a job and not having a job, they could lowball April with an offer, is what I mean by that. Like, say,
yeah, but I think
we have a job for you next year. We're just not going to give you a pay raise. You're going to keep you
at resident.
I think
they'd rather pay a better doctor to maintain their status as, like, a high-quality hospital.
For sure, I get that. The way that they had made the episode sound and, like, the way that the wooing process was going so poorly with Bailey, I'm like, oh, these people have no one. They can't get anyone to come to this hospital anymore. Ever since Charles and Reed died.
Yeah, that's why.
Ever since Gary Clark inflicted carnage on our hospital. I think about that sometimes. Like, remember, I you know what I want to do? I want to do a Patreon episode, you and me, where we go back and watch those episodes. In full.
Just Gary Clark. Stressful.
It's stressful, man.
You did not see that coming.
No, I didn't. In my defense, I also didn't see Dylan exploding. I also didn't.
Well, you kind of did.
Well, kind of.
Because you caused it.
I caused it. It was an accidental death. I also want to go back and I want to rewatch the, like, I need to just watch the storyline with Izzy and Denny, because every time I think about her cutting the LVAD wire, I'm like, this is just a ridiculous storyline.
Don't worry, it still is, no matter how many times you rewatch it.
Okay, good. I'm glad. That brings me a little bit of
six episodes,
comfort.
Maybe.
Six
of
episodes.
Them, like flirting. And then her being like, I will now thief an organ.
Man. That is crazy. Remember when Burke was on the show?
Yeah.
Remember when George was on the show?
Yeah, I didn't like that.
Yeah. Sorry. I know there's George lovers out there.
Yeah. Really,
what's
are.
The name of the actor who plays Owen Hunt?
Kevin McKidd.
That's Kevin McKidd. Okay.
Yeah.
I the more and more I ruminated on this. Okay, so guys, let me just tell you a funny story. My dad calls me the other day and gives fine
unsolicited
life advice, but he forgot that the podcast was a Grey's Anatomy podcast. And he goes, is Kevin McKidd still on the show? And I was like, Dad, I don't know who that is, but I like, you can't talk about this like this because I'm watching it for the first time. And he goes, oh, I forgot. So I text Kelsey.
Also,
and I'm like,
yeah, Carmen tells me this. This is the day after we recorded last week, which was directed by Kevin McKidd. So I explicitly said that name at least twice during the recording. Less than 24 hours prior to Carmen having this conversation and him going, I don't know that name.
But I don't. I wasn't thinking. I understand. Like, now, as so I'm funny. Saying it, I'm like, okay, no. I know this name. Like, this makes sense. But Kelsey, instead of saying that's Owen Hunt, she just says, oh no, don't worry, that's not a spoily. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Well, but I don't think the question is a spoily because it is someone that's already on the show.
Okay.
I would say, like, if they were like, you know, is Barack Obama still on that show, you would be like, oh my god, spoilers.
Like, oh goodness. Yeah. This is fun. We're having a good time.
We're having a great time. Okay, so while we're talking about Kevin McKidd, we can talk about Christina and Owen and their weird.
I don't understand what's happening.
I don't think they do either. To be fair.
All right, give us the recap of Christina.
So Christina, you know, at the
Christina.
Very beginning of the show, we're getting
why'd
drunk.
You say that?
Christina, because I'm annoyed that she slept with Owen. I'm annoyed that she had sex
too.
With her husband.
when so you say she, it like that, you really don't have a leg to stand
on. I know I don't. So at the beginning of the episode, you know, she's getting drunk. She's got really good offers. The main three that we hear are Mayo, Stanford, and Columbia, and then Seattle. Teddy is still really trying to get her to stay. She's like, isn't it so cool how I let you do so many things and you're not even a fellow yet? Like, you're going to have so much freedom and like all this stuff. And so she gets drunk at the party and she goes back to her apartment, which we've been led to believe that she's been staying with Meredith. So she hasn't really been at the apartment or house, firehouse, whatever the fuck it is. I don't know. So she goes in, Owen's asleep. He wakes up. He's like, what are you doing? And she says, I don't know. And he says, are you drunk? And she says, I don't know. And she just lays on him for like a minute and then gets up and leaves. It's a weird moment.
Yeah.
One tries anything.
Yeah.
Appreciate.
It's like a gentle cuddle. It's like, mm-hmm. you know, when they have those regional planes just do a touchdown on the runway and they just keep flying by. It was like that.
No.
Oh,
no idea what you're talking about.
It's called a touch off or a flyby, something like that. Where
what's the point of it?
It's just like testing emergency procedures on like these small. It's like the small airlines, like the little puddle jumpers. They would fly.
You know, I've been on them because when we fly from Chattanooga to Atlanta, there's normally like maybe 50 seats on the airplane. Maybe.
Oh no, not that. I'm talking like the literally like little 4-person private. Like little personal ones, they'll go down.
Hobbyists,
yeah. They'll, if they're cleared by the runway, they'll come down. They'll do like a little touch and then go. Just like, I don't know.
Yeah, I would love someone to explain to me the point of that.
Yeah, I can't. But
I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm just confused by the point of it. Anyways,
Captain Stefan taught me about it one time when we were playing frisbee golf in Florida.
Sure, that does seem like what Christina's doing, honestly. So. And then she leaves and then they don't talk about it anymore. And then Also, it's awkward that Owen has to like ask Teddy in the meeting with everybody who works for him what Christina's doing. And Mark's like, yeah. Why don't you know? That's your wife, dude.
Yeah.
Because again, not many people know what's happening.
I mean, even Teddy doesn't know. Teddy tells Hunt tells her later.
Yeah. So.
You know what's going on in her head, though? Well, hold on. We'll get to that later. Never mind.
So the whole episode, you know, Meredith's like, go to Stanford. I'm going to stay and you're going to go to Stanford and I'm going to control everybody's life because I fear change, which I also don't enjoy change. And I also like to tell people what to do. But this is like too much. And so. Christina keeps being like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I just want everyone to stop telling me what to do. I don't know if I'm staying. I don't know if I'm leaving. Like, I just need to figure it out by myself. Like, just let me figure it out. And so Meredith kind of backs off. And I will say, I did like when Meredith finally is like, Owen deserves to be with someone who wants a baby, and you deserve to be with someone who wants you. That, out of context of literally everything else, is just 100% true.
Yes.
And like, that's what I wish had been said prior.
Maybe even like prior many to times.
many times. Like, this is the argument. It's like, just, that's not something we concede on. We've talked about that. It's like too much of a, like, it, Christina says you don't give a little on a baby. And so it's just a fact. He deserves to be with someone who wants a baby. She deserves to be with someone who is fine with like it just being the two of them, like who also wants like the same lifestyle she wants.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate that. But I also, I guess, appreciate where Christina is coming from. I don't really. I was trying so hard to like put and be like, OK, they are married. So like it is a big deal to just be like, well, I'll throw that away. But it's also like what there's not a solution.
No.
So that's where it's just weird. And so
the only solution is forgiveness from both ends. Like
forgiveness.
Thank you. I think that's, kind of where Meredith spells it out, but like Owen needs to forgive Christina and move on from the baby. Christina needs to forgive Owen and move on from the infidelity.
And they both need to move on from the marriage.
But here's the thing. If they both choose to stay in it, they have to get over that crap and move on. And yeah, they probably weekly therapy twice a week for the next couple of years.
The issue is Christina moving on from the cheating feels different than Owen moving on from the abortion, because you can forgive and move on from the abortion, but if you still want a baby, you're in the same spot.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If he wants to be with Christina, he needs to choose Christina, and the baby thing is done. Like, you gotta.
Yeah.
And listen, I'm not saying that he should. I'm not saying that he should not want a baby. I'm saying if he chooses Christina, he has to just accept Christina for what she wants.
Exactly. And it's.
But that's Meredith's point.
Yeah. So there's a lot of that back and forth. And then Christina.
Then they bone.
Finds Owen. Sitting in the on-call room and just fucks him. They just fuck. There's no conversation about it. And then afterwards, he's like, I'm happy. And she's like, cool, cool, I'm leaving. And I think, in a way, that moment was to kind of solidify where she was at with any decision. Because I think she really didn't know beforehand what she was going to do. And for whatever reason, the sex was the deciding factor in where her feelings were lying.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a hard read.
Or it's just there's something hard about that read. It's to me, it I'm kind of getting like just closure. It's. I actually don't even know if she wants to leave him. She's just saying she's leaving the hospital. Like, there's the forgiveness. We can be together. You're my husband. You're my person. But also, I have to take this job. Yeah, we're going to do long distance.
Mad anymore. I'm not like angry anymore. Neither of us are angry anymore, but I'm also not going to stay here and do this anymore.
That's how I'm reading the situation.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I now have to predict that they will stay together, but Christina is also going to take the Mayo position, mm-hmm. pending living through the plane crash.
Pending survival.
Someone's got a severed head in there. Someone is just a head floating around. Someone is dead on that plane.
Okay.
My prediction is it's... Okay, never mind. We'll wait till later. Wait for these predictions in part two!
So, do you remember in Friends when Rachel is going to leave at the end of season 10 and her and Ross fuck, and then she's like, that was the perfect way to say goodbye? I'm like, is that what we're doing?
Mm.
And then she doesn't go to Paris, and it pisses me off even however many fucking years later. So I'm still mad about it. Why would she not go to Paris? Oh my God, that's so fucking... I fucking hate Ross so much.
And where did Topanga not go?
Yale!
Yeah, that's...
Come on, guys!
I want you to know...
Get it together! These men are trash!
This is obviously going to be a joke, and it's overkill. If my daughter got an offer to Yale, and she stayed or wanted to stay in community college local for some schmuck boy, I would just kill the boy.
I would literally, I just can't.
Like, at this point, I can't do anything to break them up other than take the life.
Other than murder.
Other than murder. And Marlo, someday when you're listening to this, if this happens, I love you, baby.
I love you from prison.
I did this for you.
Yeah. I
don't know. It's just don't make decisions based on a significant other. That's not your spouse.
Especially before your frontal lobe is fully developed.
Or your occipital lobe. No. Occipital lobe. Or your medulla oblongata. When none of it's formed. Just
be who you
are. Other brain things.
You know what? Sometimes if it's meant to be, long distance will work.
Yeah.
Carbon Jessica. You know?
Trust me.
If it's not meant to be, long distance will not work. Look at me. So there you go.
Flip of a coin. Here we are.
Here we are.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Yeah, I don't feel bad if they would have smushed and then Christina said, I'm staying, I would have been pissed. I'd have been like, all this turmoil for this? Mm-hmm. So, but I do see it as like, I'm not making a decision to spite you now. Like there's no more, I hurt you, you hurt me, I hurt you. Like we're done with the back and forth of the jabs.
Mm-hmm.
The sex forgiveness reconciliation moment. I'm good. I'm rational. I'm being thoughtful. I'm not being angry or spiteful, but I am leaving.
Yeah.
That's where I read this.
And tangentially to this storyline, Owen does tell Teddy that he fucked someone else because she's like, what happened? Like, she's like, I'm trying so hard to like get her to stay. Like, what happened? Like, what can we do? And he's like, I had sex with someone else. And she's like, sorry, girl, you do not need to apologize.
Also, after all this time, Teddy, it could have been you. He could have cheated on Christina with you. Why wouldn't you be more mad? You loved him at one point.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's wild. Yeah, so, it was weird that he's like, oh, I cheated on Christina. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Blah.
Yeah, I'm like, are you saying that it's your fault that he slept with someone else because you think that he killed your husband? Like, how did we get from this man sleeping with someone else other than his wife, who is not you, to you then apologizing to him?
Yeah.
The logic for me is not there.
I will say, to Teddy's point, like, or to her credit, I mean, not her point. I feel bad for the interactions that she's having with Christina. Cause at one point Teddy's like, Christina, like, dude, just tell me what's going on. Cause she's offering Christina the three big options on the surgery they're about to do with Nick. And she's like, you could be the primary, you could do the resection, you could do the blah, blah, like, you could do the full, whatever the other procedure is. And Christina's like, yeah, fine, I'll take it all. And that's when Teddy's like, dude, like, what's going on? Just like, I have no idea where your head is at. I'm your mentor. Like, I have stripped you down and built you back up to be the best possible version of yourself. I've invested a lot of time and energy. Can you just tell me what your decision is? Like, what? I think that's kind of where I'm not super on Christina's side. But also, Christina hasn't been developed the character like someone who needs to like confide in a mentor person to make a decision for herself. So I could see both sides of that. But as the viewer, it's a little bit frustrating to see that relationship break down in the end of it.
Well, I think she is still not wanting to tell other people what Owen did.
But still, like, not even having the conversation about the hospitals that are giving her offers. She's giving Teddy
but
nothing.
That's not, I don't think she knows. Teddy knows where her options are, because Teddy says at the beginning, like, it's between us and these other hospitals.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. That's
Teddy
fair.
Knows. Teddy's like, she doesn't tell, have me, the context. Tell me what you're deciding.
Got it.
And Christina still doesn't know. And she doesn't want to get into the personal stuff, because she is still, as much as Owen is a garbage person, trying to protect him in the eyes of other people.
Yeah. Which, like, respect, you know? That's...
So, and that's when... Yeah, I don't think that... Like, because Teddy asks her, what are you doing? And that's when Christina's like, I'll do all of it. Like, she doesn't answer, like, what are you doing next year? She's just like, I'm just going to do the surgery. And so she doesn't want to talk. Again, I think she's really on, like, I'm sick of everyone else having opinions on this.
Yeah. Well, we will hopefully have resolution to that storyline in the next episode. But it is nice that on the heels of, like, what could be seen as potential Meredith and Christina conflict of, like, the... You're my person. Well, he's my person. They still come back, and I like that they have that moment where they're making their decisions together. They're being honest. They're like, I think it's a testament to their friendship of they can handle some of those rough times. And now, if either of them or one of them survives, they have to now move across the country away from each other. So.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you have any other thoughts on just where people end up saying they're going?
No.
I guess they don't technically say for Alex, because at the end, when Arizona comes down and she's all mad at him and she's like, I had to hear it from Hunt. You didn't even tell me yourself. And then he says, it's Hopkins. That's where you went. And she's like, oh, wait, you're actually going. I was like, what are you mad about? You're mad that he got an offer? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that was a little bit unfair. We also don't know where Jackson picks.
Yeah, that's true.
And we don't know what's going to happen with April.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that, so I will
right
circle
now,
back.
What we know pre-plane crash, the decisions are Meredith to Boston and Christina to Minnesota. That's like what is explicitly stated.
Yeah, but apparently you get to pick and choose when we're making inferences and assumptions or not, because,
well, that's what they explicitly stated. So I'm not.
They also didn't explicitly state that April didn't pass her boards until this episode.
That they did say someone failed, and then she came out and was looking very sad.
They also didn't explicitly say that George was dead until the season premiere.
They did say it, but they just didn't technically have proof. Meredith says it's George, and then in the season premiere, Bailey's like, the fuck is the matter with you?
Yeah, that's so funny. On one final note, not related to Grace, I think we have a skunk living in our yard.
Ooh,
yeah, but I will say, I saw the skunk the other night, and Vanellope like started to make a move towards it, and I said, Vanellope, come, and she did turn around and come back to me. So
it's good. You don't want to deal with a skunky dog.
No. All right. What do you say we do another episode?
Let's. And we'll start with everyone's favorite segment.